Good morning, I'm Elizabeth Harrison in Providence. Flags are flying at half-staff today in Rhode Island and around the country in honor of the victims of the Boston Marathon bombings. Rhode Island has been sending help to Boston, including a four-member civilian support team from the National Guard and four state troopers with bomb-sniffing dogs. Governor Lincoln Chafee says at times like this, it's important for neighbors to come together and do what they can. This morning, we're bringing you stories from Rhode Islanders who competed in the Boston Marathon on Monday. Rhode Island Public Radio's Natalie Jablonski spoke to one runner who was an eyewitness to the explosions.
Kathleen Kelly from Harrisville, Rhode Island, had just finished her race when she heard the first explosion.
And I turned to the lady that was right next to me, and I said, "What was that?" And we looked, and we could see the explosion. The debris hadn't even hit the ground, and we saw the smoke and everything, and I said, "It sounded like a cannon." Well, just as I finished saying that, the second explosion happened.
Kelly was not injured in the blast. She describes the atmosphere following the explosions as controlled chaos and says she was impressed by the response of the staff and volunteers on the ground. Natalie Jablonski, Rhode Island Public Radio.
Runner Brian Scribner from Lincoln, Rhode Island, was just about 3 miles away from the finish line when his wife sent him a text message that the explosions had occurred. He says even runners who didn't finish the race faced physical exhaustion in the aftermath of the incident.
My wife and the friend we were with ended up giving away a lot of the clothing that they had to fellow racers. Just you walk around and there were people shivering and you could tell that they were not doing well physically.
Scriber says right now he's not feeling regret about not finishing the marathon. He's just grateful that he and his family are safe. Meanwhile, in Boston, police are responding to questions about their security procedures in the wake of the double bombing. Boston Police Commissioner Ed Davis says there were more police at this year's marathon than ever before.
We had teams of undercover officers in the crowd, working the crowd at the end of the race, which is standard procedure because of pickpockets that occur in that area. Those teams were out there. They were fully deployed, as were our EOD dogs, which were in the area all through the race.
And the Rhode Island authorities have been combing the marathon course, checking bags and packages for signs of any other explosive devices. So far, they report no sign of a continuing threat and say they have found no additional explosives. In other news, the Rhode Island Turnpike and Bridge Authority is expected this morning to decide how much it will cost to drive across the new Saconnet River Bridge. They're looking at charging drivers with a Rhode Island Easy Pass 75 cents. Out-of-state drivers would pay $3.75, and any driver without an Easy Pass would have to pay that plus an additional $1.50. That's to pay for the picture of a license plate so the authority can send a bill in the mail. The Turnpike and Bridge Authority says it needs the tolls to pay for bridge maintenance. Aquidneck Island residents call it unfair, saying they'll be paying most of the tolls. Legislation in the State House would get rid of the toll and pay for bridge maintenance through a fee on driver's licenses and registration.
I believe that peace can be found in the midst of strife.
I believe in evolution.
I believe in friends who can make you laugh so hard you cry.
This I believe.
I'm Frederick Reamer, host of This I Believe Rhode Island. What life doesn't have its share of struggles? Some are bigger than others, of course, but surely we've all known some measure of disappointment, loss, and sorrow. As the ancient Greek philosopher Epicurus said, you don't develop courage by being happy in your relationships every day. You develop it by surviving difficult times and challenging adversity. And as we hear from this week's essayist, Francisco Oyer, what matters most in life is how we cope with the challenges that come our way.
Sometimes, life dishes up more than we seem to be able to handle. Or at least, that's what we may think. I was born with a rare genetic disease called Pelizaeus-Merzbacher. The symptoms and risks vary significantly among those affected by a specific genetic mutation. In my case, the disease affects the development of the white matter in my nervous system, which in turn affects my motor ability. Fortunately, the disease has left my cognitive functions intact. PMD, as this disease is commonly known, primarily affects my ability to walk, and to a lesser degree, my vision. I've needed surgery and ongoing physical therapy for years, but thankfully I can take care of myself and I'm mobile. Because of my chronic condition, I have become passionate about the rights and tools that people like me need to thrive in this society and confront their challenges. I enjoy encouraging and inspiring people, along with giving them hope. If I can be a positive example of how to cope with adversity and be resilient, all the better. I believe that no matter the situation, if there is a will, there is a way, at least most of the time. The tools exist. What matters is having the courage, support, and opportunity to discover and use these tools to their fullest advantage. I have learned over and over again that a disability does not need to limit one's internal enjoyment of life at all. In an odd way, a disability can be quite liberating. Mine has given me a different and very special view of the world, and this unique outlook makes all the difference. In my case, I am grateful, truly grateful, for every day I live, because I know that I can be in much worse shape. Helen Keller, who is deaf, blind, and mute, once observed, "Self-pity is our worst enemy, and if we yield to it, we can never do anything good in the world." Well, if people like me, people with disabilities, pity ourselves, we will never succeed. We need to do our best to hit the ground running, whether literally or figuratively, no matter the challenge. In her song Born This Way, Lady Gaga says that it is acceptable to be who you are and different. Everyone has a disability. Mine just happens to be visible.
Francisco Oyer is 19 years old and, as he said, was born with a rare genetic disease. Oyer was born in Puerto Rico and lived there until enrolling at Providence College, where he is currently a student. He says that his disability has made him a determined, courageous, and very resilient person. To offer your own essay or to listen to previous segments, we invite you to visit the This I Believe Rhode Island page of our website, ripr.org. For Rhode Island Public Radio, this is Frederick Reamer.